Just a few weeks ago, I was perusing the most recent Pew Forum study on American religion, and the conclusion was that we are increasingly a nation of religious drifters, that we drift from denomination to denomination, from faith to faith, that we pick and choose elements of religions that we want to hang on to. In the Protestant world, you'll find increasingly common someone who might begin life as an evangelical, dabble in Catholicism as a teenager, become a Methodist at midlife, and then die an Episcopalian. And in the Catholic world, Catholics are already enamored of the cafeteria, where they kind of pick and choose which Catholic beliefs they want. But the Pew Forum study showed that, again, increasingly Catholics are willing to experiment with even Buddhism and Hinduism, religions way outside the normal ambit of Christianity. I was struck, too, by the amount of esoteric practice among Catholics. So a rather large percentage of Catholics are willing to believe in astrology and even to practice yoga as a spiritual practice. So all that is kind of a novelty in our culture. Stephen Prothero is a professor of religion at Boston University, and he's pointing out that this is a function, or it's at least correlative to, an increasing ignorance among Americans in regard to their own faith and to the other faiths of the world. We actually know very little about religion. He said that the vast majority of Christians couldn't even name the four gospel writers. He said the vast majority of Americans know next to nothing about Islam. I can certainly testify that there's a sometimes dismaying amount of bewilderment among Catholics in regard to even the most fundamental elements in the faith. And it's this ignorance, Prothero argues, that leads to a lot of this drifting, because you don't really know any better. Why not go here rather than there? He says that, you know, a century ago, the move from, let's say, evangelical Protestantism to Catholicism would have been experienced as the crossing of a chasm. Now it's experienced as sort of changing your breakfast cereal. You know, it's more a matter of just individual taste. But that's a function of ignorance about religion. Something else comes to mind. George Santayana, the great American philosopher, once commented that American life is this powerful solvent, he said, that can neutralize even the most popular and powerful ideas into cliches. I think what he meant was our sort of egalitarianism can lead to a flattening out of ideas, where differences and better, worse, right, wrong gets flattened out into a bland sort of egalitarianism. Think how often you hear in our culture things like, well, you know, as long as you're a spiritual person, it doesn't really matter which religion you practice. Or, you know, deep down, all the religions are really saying the same thing. See, once that assumption is in place, then, you know, why not drift around? Why not choose this and that? Why not cobble together your religion out of your own preferences? Well, you know what's disturbing about these findings in the Pew Forum is it's so repugnant to biblical religion. See, no matter how you slice it, this new American form of religion affirms the primacy of the individual as the chooser. Who comes first is the one who chooses. As you say, well, I like this, I like that, I'm going to go from here to there. Finally, it's up to you, see, what religion you're going to have or what religious path you're going to follow. Finally, your ego is in command. Even as you say, well, I'm going to surrender to God, it's still on my terms, you know. So who's positioning whom? Who's in charge? It seems to be the choosing subject. Well, look, in the Bible, it's just the opposite. God, who's not just a bland force, but a person, calls certain people. God summons Abraham, and Abraham, shocked, responds to God, okay, I'll follow you. You want me to leave everything I know, to uproot my whole family, I'm 75 years old, and go in quest of a promised land? Okay, I'm going to follow you. Was Abraham in control? Did he know what he was doing? Was he choosing to follow this? No way. He was summoned. He was chosen by God. Same thing with the great prophets. Isaiah is called by God. And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me where you want me to go. Isaiah wasn't saying, well, let me think this over, and yeah, I kind of like this element of your teaching, but I like these elements here. No. The the sovereign God called him, he said yes. Jeremiah is called, and Jeremiah says, Oh Lord, no, you don't want me, I'm too young. Don't say you're too young, I have chosen you. The voice of God is sovereign over our choices. Same thing, of course, in the New Testament. When Jesus summons people, summons Peter, James, and John, and they drop everything, and they come after him. Look at the Last Supper, that wonderful dialogue when Jesus says to his disciples, it is not you who have chosen me, it is I who have chosen you. And see, I submit to you, that's the difference between biblical religion and this much more common cultural religion today. To grasp the full import of those words of Jesus, it's not you who've chosen me, but I who've chosen you, is to see why the religious drifter of today is so out of step with the adventurous God of the Bible.